We're going to we've invited the department to come and brief us on their preparations towards the allocation of rights for this financial year. But before we allow the department to brief us, I take this opportunity to acknowledge apologies. We have apologies from the Deputy Minister, and we received an indication from the Ministry that the Minister will leave us as chairman. I hope we can see the Minister, because this is one item for you. And we have apologies from Mr. Mandela, Honorable Ruth Mandela, and other members probably will join us as we continue. We've not received any apologies. Last year, members, we had received various presentations on the process that department is engaged in addressing some of the challenges that we have found as a committee when we arrived, and we have been taken through by the department on the process that the department would be following. So we have called them today to come and appraise the committee in terms of how far the process and those issues that have been identified as challenges. They've been addressed. Most importantly, Minister, that we want to hear the readiness in terms of the implementation of the small scale fishery policy. Minister, you're welcome in your team. I will hand it over to you.
Thanks, President. The team, first I must introduce the team that is here. Mr. Motima Anya is the acting DG, sorry. Mr. Ramasodi is the production health and food safety DDG. And we've got Sogadri, who is the DDG fisheries management. And we've got Bongusomi, who is acting with the DDG on food security and marine reform. We've got Asafi Hare, acting director, marine resources. Acting chief director, sorry. We have got Sue Middleton, Chief Director of Operations. And we have got Abungile Nkonga, Deputy Director of Small Scale Fisheries, that's the team that is here today. And we have got also Lungom team, that was the Chief of Staff in the department, Anton Vita, who was the advisor, Evan Thompson, who was the TO, and Justin Machina and Toba, they're part of the team. So I believe that we'll be able to outline the processes. And then, before 11, I will request to be allowed to go because I understand that this is tough as a gauge, as a response to one of the questions you raised on our readiness to deal with small scale fisheries, but taking us through the issues that, because this is from 2013. Those are the processes then up to now. So those are things we are well dealing with. The only thing that maybe is that with the issue of appeals, we were cleared on them. There's no more any outstanding appeal in the department. And I'm sure led by the acting DG, I'm sure the people who must present will, and I'm sure that we'll do our best to make sure that we prevent the exact that is happening. Thanks,
Chairperson. Good morning. The DDG Fisheries Management is going to present first. Minister just forgot to indicate that she is now appointed as a DDG, the way he referred to her as DDG, not the director.
That is sir, that as for this year, we don't have anybody who is acting now. Everybody has been appointed. Mr. Ramasodi is no longer acting. Dao is no longer acting in forestry. There's no, and solar is no longer acting. So if they fail us, they may not be due to, it is not sure of what they should be doing.
No, we welcome this progressive move minister. It is the committee that appreciates from that. Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson, morning, Minister, morning to Honorable Members. I will take you through this presentation. There's two presentations that we've prepared on the right allocation and on the small scale fishery. I request, Chairperson, that I take both of them through, and then we can interrogate and have a discussion later. If you permit, I would like to thank you very much. The presentation outline is just going to give on the background. Chairperson has kindly given the introduction to the issue, where it comes from, and a little bit a reflection on the right allocations of 2013 and the appeals thereof, including the special that attend that has been for allocation. And I'm going to take you through to the special that has been for allocation by when that should happen, as the chair has indicated that they need to assess the state of the readiness of the department in being able to meet this target state. And I'm going to just take you through the general and sector specific policies, the distribution and receipting process, and a little bit of some information that they got, it will be useful for the committee to have. On the appeals of Threat 2013, the Honorable House will remember that there were 8 sectors that were allocated fishing rights, and there have been issues that were raised with regards to the anomalies or the issues that were not towards the good way of allocating fishing rights. And there has since been audits that was done by Harris and audits that was done by Iran Basadi, and there were recommendations. So how we dealt with the appeals of FRED 2013 was guided by the recommendations both from the Harris audit and the Emang Basadi, and in particular the Emang Basadi. So Emang Basadi focused more on how to take the process forward. So everything that I'm going to be presenting is a combination of the suggestions that came out of these reports in terms of how to take the process forward. We have received about 1,200 appeals in the 8 sectors. On top of this issue, we had a court case from the South African Lionfish Association. We had also, in June of last year, Minister already appointed the 3 testing advisory team that was to assess the appeals and make recommendations that Minister was to consider in this. And I'm very happy and pleased, Chairperson, to announce that all 7 sectors have been dealt with, and the House will remember this issue has been coming over and over again in terms of us starting a new process while we have not closed administratively on the previous process, and this has really set us in a better footing in starting with a new allocation process that is currently underway. All has been done in the 7 sectors, except for FACLA, obviously, because there's a court agreement, out of court statement with FACLA. We are now following that agreement, that statement, in terms of dealing with FACLA, and we anticipate this is going to be completed before the end of February. I should also note, Chairperson and Honorable Members, that in the 7 sectors that are completed, we have seen an additional 890 jobs, direct jobs that are created with the appeals that the Minister has granted. In particular, of interest in 2 sectors, which is the white mussel sector, which is basically harvested by women mostly because of the entertainment resource, and we have had a number of women becoming successful in those appeals. Usually they will be taken, employed by a right holder to pay for them, and what Minister did was to turn them to right holders so that they don't take for somebody. So they are now self-employed and they are paying for themselves, which is something that has not happened before in that day in the past. The second sector is with regard to the Hague Handline, in particular on the region that is in the south coast from Port Elizabeth and Francis Bay. You have fishermen there that work in the squeeze boats And as you know, fishing is a seasonal activity, so it means the fisherman that is not working when the fish season is over sits at home for about 5 months or 6 months doing nothing. So what minister did with the articles that we have dealt with, some of the fishermen that are working in the squid boats, minister granted the direct right of the hake hand line. This means therefore, when they stop working for the boat owners in the suite, they start working for themselves and they earn salary for themselves. And this is something that we thought we should really indicate to the committee as one of the highlights when we were dealing with these appeals. On the background with regard to the current chairperson, I'm not going to take long in terms of explaining. I think we understand these sectors are coming from the allocation of 2005, so I'm going to skip those formalities that are on slide 6. But the ninth bullet refers to these rights that they are expiring in this year. The first sector to expire, what the large pelagic, which expired in February. So we have got these 10 sectors that have been expiring this year. On slide number 7, this indicates that Minister, and he has also made this comment a number of times to the House. Ordinarily, when we allocate fishing rights, we suppose to start at least 3 or 2 years before. Now, we allocated these rights in 2005, and we knew they expired in 2015. But we were not ready by the time it was 2015. So it was therefore sensible that the minister should exempt the current right holders so that he gives time to the department to start the preparation. Minister set the expiry date to the 29th of February of this year and has hence extended that to the respective 2016 fishing season. And Jonathan, I would like to make an explanation here. This further extension was not due to the unpreparedness from the side of the department. It is purely a common sense issue. One, because when you allocate fishing rights, you allocate it to the coral. You give the coral the total allowable catch that she can catch with this right. You do that up front. Now, when you pass the coral from fishing in the middle of the fishing season, it means I have got an allocation that the state has rightfully given to me that I am not able to catch. So it was the reason that motivated minister to say, let's give the full fishing season. And the big and the plus of this is that it ensures the continuous supply of fish. Because if you are going to disrupt the fishing season in the middle, it encourages those current right holders to go and fish more. It can encourage overfishing actually, particularly like, I don't know if I'm going to get the right or I'm not going to get the right, so I go quickly and catch as much. But if people know that they have the opportunity to catch all their allocation, then it makes sense that they need to finish the whole fishing season so that they catch everything that was allocated to them. I'll show the slide of these fishing seasons. Now, the issue is that the sectors that I mentioned, the 10 sectors, the abalone, which is a problem child that we are really trying to deal with carefully so that we can eat from being problem, so that it starts to be the best thing that it can be to the economy of the country and with regards to the job creation. Haking shortfall, the Pentagonian toothfish, horse mackerel, we call it in the Eastern Cape Hasbanga, the horse mackerel. The two problem child children again, West Coast rock lobster, near shore and offshore. The seaweed have been each same, which is KZN. The large tragics refer to the tuna. And the House, the Honourable Member would remember, we presented to the committee the 3 international agreements that we were to accede to, and Parliament in October gave the green light to the accession. We are now full members and are preparing the documentation that has to be sent to these international agreements. And we are going to see a bigger allocation of South Africa in this. And the last one is the net fish. Lastly, is the fish net processing establishment. On page 8, Chairperson and Honourable Member, in the indication of these fishing seasons, the next fish fishing season starts on the 1st of July 2016. So this means that by 1st July of this year, the new right holders should be starting fishing. So we are doing the recipient in this week, which closes on Friday, and immediately the recipient closes on Friday. All the documentations are going to be couriered from the various places who send us around the country to come to Cape Town. we are going to start with the courses. But it is going to take us literally at least 2 months to finish off doing the allocations, because once we finish the allocations, we need to load the new rice rollers on the system, because they cannot go and fish without having applied for a permit to go catch. So it's a little bit tedious process. That if no government gives you a right to fish, you still cannot go to the ocean to fish without a catch permit that the department needs to issue. And the department needs to load all of these people in the system. So that's why we anticipate this period of at least 2 months. And when I say 2 months, it's general. Actually, it's going to take about a month and a half. This is a setup that they are starting their fishing season. So what we are going to do, as we bring back the applications, we are going to start with those fishing sectors that are soon starting their fishing season. The first day of July, the next October, November of this year, December of this year, then the rest start from next year. But that does not mean, Chelsea, we are going to wait to allocate those that start fishing season next year. Next year, everything is going to be done in the space of 2 months, so that everybody can start being aware of what's going to happen in that. And also, the other issue that we think is worth mentioning is that this year, something that has not happened before, the department usually receives information, and we take it as gospel truth that if the cobra says she has a partner that is Boyega, and Boyega is black, and we take it as gospel that Boyega is black. So this year, with the instruction of the minister, we are going to set up a forensic team that is going to do the verification of the truthfulness of the information that is submitted in the application form. And I think it is worth mentioning that in particular, in the West Coast Rock Lobster, near shore and offshore, we've got a huge number of paper quota holders. And the issue is that to deal with these issues, we really need to be very stringent and very much to the T that we are dealing with who we think we are dealing with. And this is one of the things that is going to happen, hence we say at least a period of 2 months, because that verification by a forensic audit team is going to add a layer of time to the administration of these courses. On slide 9, we are referring to the general and sector-specific policies, as indicated to the portfolio committee previously, that we do not have a fisheries transformation charter. And we put that on hold with the request of CPR. But what we indicated to the portfolio committee was that we have specific sector policies, and that is where we bring in very, very clearly defined targets with regards to transformation. And those sector-specific policies are very clear in terms of the objectives of government in creating the jobs, in transforming the sector, and in making sure that we grow the GDP of our country. We have got the general sector policy, which also talks to the 22 specific sectors. This general policy was firstly done in 2005-2006. So what we did, we took the same general policy, but we worked it out so that we have a general policy that guides people in terms of how we do the applications. Then we have specific sectors that if you apply for it in short, you must know how that particular fishery operates and what is expected of you to be able to get into that sector. And we have had 32 venues across the country where we did public consultations. Slide number 10, this is where we were distributing the policies, including the application forms. What we did was that we did an extensive consultation throughout the country. We allowed people to give in their inputs, comments, and everything. We analyzed those comments and incorporated them in the release of those comments before we made them final policies and final application forms. That means I will take on the 15th of November to number there on the screen. And on the 2nd of November, we announced that the distribution process will be taking place between 23 to 11 of December. However, Chairperson, I need to indicate that we had had a little bit losing of time, because we as government, we have to listen when people make requests. So we had anticipated that we were going to start our sitting on the first week of January. And people were like, look, we are on holiday, Christmas time, it's New Year's time. It's really not that possible that we are going to be able to see any response. Yes, we had to shift a little bit that target. We started the sitting a week ago, and this week is the last week of the sitting, which means we are taking back the application forms for those people who want to apply officially, right? We had these 32 venues again. We have received 16,700, we distributed, 16,744 forms in the 10 sectors. We do not anticipate that everybody that has taken a form is going to bring it back, but we anticipate that at least more than half of this number is going to be received. The teams are out as we speak, doing the work to do this thing. On slide 11, Chairperson, we provide you the information with regards to the audit team that has been appointed, PricewaterhouseCoopers. They are literally independently verifying each and every legal step that we are taking. And we have taken note of the recommendations of the Harris report and we are saying we don't want to repeat administrative issues. Fishing rights is a very contentious issue. We are going to receive litigation, we know that, but we want to at least receive litigation on substantial issues, not on administrative processes, which we think is completely a waste of time and energy and government resources. So we have appointed PricewaterhouseCoopers to do the audit throughout. So they are literally checking who is in which center, how are they distributing the form, what is the information they are giving to the people, what time are we opening, what time are we closing, where are the applications form being put, who is going to transport those, who is going to take care of the document, who is going to hand over the document to the department when they come to the department next week. They are literally verifying each and every step, and they are recording each and everything so that they can be able to give an account that this is what happened. They are also going to oversee the process of the allocations themselves, because when you do the allocations, you need to be certain what the scoring was, how did you set the weighting, so that to ensure that there was fairness, there was transparency, there is accountability for that. They are not going to advise the department who should receive fishing rights and who should not receive the fishing rights. That is the decision of the delegated authority who is speaking at this moment. So they are not going to advise who to give to. They are basically monitoring that if we give to X, we have used the same principle to give to X to give to Y. And if Z has been denied because Z did not meet the criteria that X and Y both had, that's basically what they are going to be doing. Until we even deal with the artists themselves. So they are going to visit us for a little bit of time. We have set up an anonymous tip of line, Chairperson, and this is operational and it will remain operational until the end of the appeals process. We have received quite some information through the tip of line, and we are handling this together with the police in enabling us to deal with this issue. Some of these are with regards to individuals in the department. Some issues that have been raised are issues raised from very many years ago that don't necessarily have anything to do with threats. But we will be able to provide the portfolio committee to do request us to see what the cases that have been brought up on the top line. We thought to protect the individuals and the information that perhaps we should not divulge that at this stage, but we can do so upon request. We are also having a call center and a helpline, which is asking people how to fill in application forms. And again, should note that there are similar people already in the communities. There are, in this period of rights application, we are seeing an increase in consultants. There are self-proclaimed consultants robbing our people, telling them how to fill forms. People are forking out huge sums of money to the so-called consultants, helping them to fill in forms. And we've set up a helpline in the call center in the department so that people can be able to be assisted and taken through the processes. But unfortunately, thieves always find their way through the system as well to make money at this time. And also the department has held a red shop in terms of the split of the resources between small scale and commercial. scale, so that we can be able, as we have indicated, that we need to set aside a sizable, economically viable, total allowable cash for the small scale fisheries communities, so that they can be able to make livelihood out of this. We also held an abalone in Lizo only last week, which is also a step toward assisting us in looking at the management and the future of the abalone fishery in South Africa. It should also be noted, Chair and members, that the global total allowable cash, this apportionment thereof, should not be confused with the annual total allowable cash or effort. So the TAC, in terms of the apportionment, who gets what, remains the responsibility of the minister according to that. So Minister Ken, and he is the final decision-making person in terms of how the apportionment is going to be done within this sector. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll move quickly to the next presentation, which is the small-scale fisheries policy, the implementation. Here, Chairperson, because we have appraised the committee on this, we are just going to look at the milestones that have been achieved, the process going forward, and just highlight on the challenges that we are currently faced with regard to the small-scale fisheries policy. The fishing, small-scale fishing regulations were vetted. OFLA is the private company that we have used that is facilitating our vetting of the regulations. We have presented the committee with the regulations, the minister signed off on them, and we had to have them vetted, and we had to be doing that so that we exclude ourselves from the process as the department. So we had to get somebody doing that. The Department of the DPME Monitoring and Evaluation, they signed off on the social and economic impact assessment of our regulations, because we were informed that government, whatever policy that comes up, we need to do a proper assessment of the social impact that that policy is going to bring. We did that successfully in December of last year. We also appointed a service provider at KZN, which is a very interesting to report. The portfolio committee was clear in the instructions that we must not use KZN as the wildlife in KZN for the business of the department. And because the portfolio committee has visited there and had the crying of the people, so we have done away with KZN as the wildlife, and we've got a local service provider that has been appointed that is going to be taking us through the implementation of the small-scale fisheries policy in KZN. We have had open discussions with stakeholders on the apportionment. As I say, we have put across a proposal on the percentages of the allocation. That proposal, I'm thinking, is not cast at all. It was just a proposal, and we are continuing the discussions within that. Minister approved in January the fishing regulations, and we have the information management system that has been completed, that is for the fisher verification process. It's also being rolled out, and we are starting this process so that we make sure that we leave nobody behind. We have had media briefings on the implementation of small scale. We have had a booklet that talks about the guiding principles, how this is going to happen. This is the book that I have with me, Chairperson, and we can get distributed to the honorable members to make sure that we tell the people what the process is going to be, how we should expect the process to roll out, what is going to be expected of them. We have put out posters, we have put out information on local radio stations, information on local newspapers, and we've done that to verify and make sure that people are getting the information that they need to get. We put out an expression of interest to the communities. 267 communities responded to that call of the expression of interest, and we are continuing engaging the traditional leaders and local municipalities on the process. We have not finished on this part, Chairperson, given the capacity that is not too big that we are having, but it's a process that is keeping on being rolled over. We are having a Facebook page that is just dedicated for the small scale fisheries policy to inform people what the policy is, what to do, what to expect. Going forward, we are waiting for the sign-off by the President pertaining to the promulgation of the Act. We are anticipating that this is soon going to the President, and we are hopeful that we are going to get response for the presidency to have promulgated this amendment of the Marine Living Resources Act, and this step will, when it's concluded, then we'll publish the approved small-scale fishing regulations. And I think also, Chairperson, we must note here that one of the issues is that while we are waiting for the promulgation of the Act, we have not been sitting folding arms or doing anything. Yes, we have been campaigning, we have been increasing their communication, and I think we can never say it is enough. Some people may still stand up to say, we still don't know, we still have not heard, we cannot claim that it was exhaustive. Hence, we are saying we are still putting processes and programs to beef that up so that we can continue telling the people what is going to happen. With regards to the challenges, Jefferson, is the issue that relates to the resource apportionment, which I've alluded to, I'm not going to talk to that again. The issue again is the challenges is the finalization of the fee structure for the small-scale fisheries policy. There is an expectation that for small-scale fisheries, we should not charge an application fee, we should not charge a grant of right of fee, we should not charge for catch pens. And we are still trying to wrap up in terms of how we are going to do this thing. There is a notion that we should charge, but it should be a minimal charge at least. If it is going to be minimal, is it going to be 10 rand, is it going to be 20 rand, is it going to be 50 rand? That's what we are using now consulting on with the department and the Ministry of Finance to determine that fee structure. Also, a challenge is with regard to the duration of the fishing rights. On the amendment of the Act, the maximum is 15 years of the right. But we recognize that we are doing this for the first time in the country, and things may go wrong, and may terribly go wrong, and knowing the fishing communities, how things can terribly really go wrong. We want to take a precautionary measure, so that we don't say we give people 15 years. Just in case things don't go right, then we have closed in ourselves for 15 years. So we think to take a precautionary measure, so that we say maybe this right we give to this fishing community for 2 years or for 3 years, and if all things go well and right, we confirm it for the further year to make it 15 years, so that we allow ourselves room to make and maneuver if things do go wrong, which we anticipate may go wrong. The other challenge we have, and this is a general challenge with regards to the capacity constraints, given the support that is going to be needed for small-scale fisheries, I think it's worth mentioning at the commercial level, these are companies, these are entities, these are individuals who have their own resources, they've got offices, they've got marketers, they've got everything. So you don't necessarily need to give them too much support. But here we're talking about fishing communities that may not necessarily be able to do bookkeeping, knowing where to take their fish to and everything. So there's a huge support that needs to come from the department. And at this moment, we do not have this capacity check. We only have one director there, we have only one deputy director there, and we've got two senior admin officers working in this home section. And it's a real problem, as with regards to the other sections within the fisheries range, with regards to capacity. We are looking at ways of partnering with small businesses, partnering with CCI, partnering with whoever that can be able to support the effort or complement the efforts that the department is putting in, enabling us to be able to do and provide the necessary support. The other challenge is with regards to the marine protected areas, which are being administered by the Department of Environmental Affairs. We know that other opposition parties have been trying to declare at least 5% of our coast marine protected areas. This is in line with the global targets that have to be done by all countries in the world. However, we recognize that if we reach that 5% of Africa, in particular those coastal areas that are having these near shore resources, it's going to be a problem. But also, I should say, it's not all doom and gloom. Minister has engaged with the Minister of Environmental Affairs in looking at doing these things. An example is one of the MTA that has been opened in Sisigama, but then here was then taken back by the friend of the Sisigama, and the story was widely on the paper. But there is some work that is being done toward looking and ensuring that DIA does not give a blanket approach to declaring MTAs in our coastal lines, because that's where our people live and that's where they want to get the resources. One challenge happening is with regard to nature reserve, which is the World Heritage Site that is called Isimangali from Francis in KZN. Because it's a World Heritage Site, there seems to be people who think they own this portion of space and they don't want to allow fishing to happen in this space. This is one of the issues, again, that they are taking up together with the provincial government in KZN, together with the Department of Environmental Affairs, because it is a heritage site that belongs to the Department of Environmental Affairs. In that note, I would like to thank you very much, and we would like to assure the committee that we have put in place all systems that are transparent, that are credible, and that are open to public scrutiny. We are very open to that. We want people to see how we do things, how we come to decisions, and question the decisions that we are making, and we think that we will be able to deliver on time. By the start of each fishing season, we will have new rights holders. Absolutely, we will have some litigations to deal with, but we are hoping that those litigations are not going to be unfortunate for any other thing. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, the Chief. Honourable member, that was the presentation. You are invited to go into the presentation. Honourable Kwani, Honourable Jessa, Honourable Yonzi, and Honourable Mavi, and Honourable Singh.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Thank Minister Fitish for the presentation. Chair, yesterday I went to visit the office where the blue or navy all chefs, ladies from the department in the London Harbour, where fishing rights processes, the allocation of fishing rights, the form and everything else. But I was pleased to find them there with PricewaterhouseCoopers. It was my interviews with them, not knowing who I am. We're along the processes of distribution of forms and all of that. They explained, but I think that's something we have to improve in terms of that. And look at these centers where the majority of people are. So next time I think we really need to do that so that we avoid a number of complaints from individuals. But my question is that it's not about that, sort of, not just sharing my interest in some of this. It's about the end of the process. After the end of the submissions, collection of forms and everything else, and once everything is done, what will be, when will be the next process of those who have been out? You have mentioned the fishing processing discussion, and I think I think it will be necessary to on stage get the clear briefing on that, so that those people who mean out can be able to absorb in that process. I'm saying that dealing with it at the end, but coming to the beginning and the end of the process itself of right allocation. The second question will be on that one. Generally, the fishing industry has a lot of funding. We have been saying this all the time. And I think there might be a way of dealing with that so that those people who get rights are not exploited because they can't manage, they can't get funding and all that. So that would be important so that those who are coming in, and they may confront the sinners, at least we are very clear in explaining to them that what they must do. The other issue would be, there is this formation of cooperatives, particularly in those areas, in those communities. And they may be taken advantage of by the consultant if there is no way, if there is no way of ensuring that they get proper advice, so that they don't get, as you were saying, they don't get advice from people who are going to such a lot of money. And I'm saying, because it will defeat the purpose of making them, in the line of, getting access to consider it. So, if we can share with, if you can share with us as to how we can assist those finally. Jefferson, yes, that was the third question, and that one of us is the final one. I've had a lot, because I'm sure other members will clarify on this issue. That is one process, and then the end of the process. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable McCartney, Honorable Jason. It is just more time, more than time. Question. I can ask them. I'm not limiting, but don't go too far.
Okay, you want to answer? One of the members, one of the minister, the bishop. You know, Chairperson, I'm going to tell you very short questions. I think we should appreciate now the progress that is being made about the allocation of this special rights. How would you deal with the situation where perhaps there would be more applications for these rights? All of them making these requirements. So what factors are there now to use? I think that is my first and last question.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The DDG made mention of consultations or talks about the split between commercial and small scale. And as far as I know, people should know by the end of the month who will get what. Now, I'd like to know when will the details of the split be announced, and because at the moment there's no clarity on final determinations. Nobody knows what percentage of the sector the TAC and the DAE they are applying for. Secondly, I want to refer to the report on the two FAP processes and the appeals process that has been finalized. Now, as far as I know, the regulatory three reports, which are supposed to be published on the department's website, has not been published. Maybe the DDG can indicate when those regulatory reports will be published. Coming back to the settlement that was reached with Butler, I don't know whether we're ever going to know or be briefed on the details of that settlement. But there's something else I worry about, and maybe you can give me clarity on that. they want to treat people who assisted the department in finalizing the appeals process. He's the very person who initially assisted Sattler in taking the department to court. Now, to me, it sounds like conflict of interest. Please, if we could have a explanation for that. Now, I see that a company called Hacky, or Hacky Fishing from Closest Inn, has been given full scores and can qualify for certain rights in various prawn fishing and demersal shark and tuna pearls and that. Now, my information is that over a 6-year period, this company had only fished for 16 days. And for some other reason, it was recommended that Hattie be given a full score so they could qualify for a right. Secondly, also, Hattie, I believe that Okay, I'll finish with this one. Because it's all related. I believe or was told that you cannot have a vessel license for different sectors. Maybe you can tell me the result. And Hattie again has got a license, a vessel license for both shark demersal and tuna pop. If there can be an explanation for that. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Mine is just a one-minute question. Where you talk about the limiting the period or having some probationary period of sorts of 2 years instead of just outrightly allocating the 15 years. So, just wanted to understand, wouldn't that have some impact on policy, but also just a simple example, you know, if you are a fisherman operating a small scale fishery space and you are already used to things being done in this way, and then one Friday you are told that there's going to be this significant change. Because this can tend to attract all sorts of protests. You know, so that's the people protest going to be. You know, so I'm just saying, I'm not just this is not going to be a soft point to agitate the small scale fishery sector. If we say, and you are saying that we must take cautionary measures, what are those things that we need to be looking for? So that they too appreciate that you are acting in their interest. It's not just, you are not just taking a guess that there would be a problem. You are saying there is scientific proof, or we have got this in the past occurrences where there were this kind of cases. So we are taking this to make sure that if there are these problems or there are capacity challenges or whatever problems that could be there, we are able to react to them well. Because I see that the 15 years is spelled out in an act. So if you make that proposal which has got an impact on the act, what do you do? Thanks.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you for the presentation, and I also want to agree with saying that I think we are moving in the right direction at last. It's been a long and painful process until this point. Chair, my first question is, in the previous report of the previous the process, the past time I and the other reports, there was mention of political interference. I'm going to have to ask the question. These things, rights allocations and processes, are always seem to be linked with political interference. What processes, and I know there was mentioned about the service providers and the checking and the check boxes and
whatever, but we're already hearing reports of people that get preferential treatment. So I know there's also a call line that people can phone and comment if they have, but what assurance can we give to people to say that these processes are in place, that it's a fault-free process, if I can call it that way? My concern is also linked to my colleague on the staff at the Harvard. The last time that we did the visit, the oversight visit, I was very concerned that people checking what comes off the boat doesn't know what's going on. The DDG will know. I'm sending pictures and photos of people catching illegally all along the coast. People are commenting about it, but we never get any feedback of, you know, people that actually just catch without any permit or catch fish that's not allowed to be catched. So, you know, our way of, I would almost say, producing it, are we all at the same time also looking at that? Then, Chairperson, on the assistance of with the small scale fishing, well, I was told that people must pay up to $2,500 to apply. Yeah, I will also follow that up. And I'm sure it's linked to companies that now say they will assist people again with their application processes. What is in place on the department side? And do we have Department of Trade and Industry or small businesses or other people that can assist people with application processes? Because the applications is always a difficult thing. People find it difficult to apply if it's the first time that they go through a process like that. So that's my question from now. Thanks, Chair.
And then another thing. It is a question. You have mentioned that you have dictated the first page of this process. The question is, how many small-scale or potential small-scale sharers are on that Facebook? Secondly, it's a political question, Minister, which I know you might not have an answer to, which should be considered as we move forward. As we visited some of the companies during our oversight, we found that the program that government has embarked on trying to transform some of the countries to some of the companies, the process has been reversed by those companies by buying shares from the black group that has been in power. My question is that if we go to allocate the rights, what are you going to do with such situation? Because in my own view, these are not atrocious citizens. They are not patriotic citizens in the sense that they don't want progress in this country. The question is, what are you going to do about such groupings? The second question is on the small scale fishery. I know that we are doing our best. As Honorable Makakwa has read, I've received a complaint again recently from Fish, the Eastern Cape and Fishers Association. They are raising, Minister, that issues that they've raised with us, with the President of the Department, have not been attended to. So we need to get assurance that the department has attended to those issues. My last question, Minister, is on the capacity of the fishery section of the department. I know that we are employing service providers and others, but at what point this department will function as government and being run as a private sector in government, because we're spending a lot of money outsourcing some of the functions supposed to go into the other programs of the department. The question is, how long is it going to take this department to make fisheries section as part of the department, starting from the structure and the management? Those are the questions from my side. And we want to welcome and join members to welcome the report and say indeed there is a progress since we've been interacting with the department. The minister and your team can respond to some of the questions.
Well, that's good for answer one question from another member, Young Blood. On this part, this member of the appeals committee, who may have been used by SIDLA in developing his policy. I think SIDLA had an obligation to declare if there was such an activity, if he had assisted them, so that the department would take a stance. But the process of appeals was not only in the settlement with SIDLA. It had a number of other areas, and those the individuals informed by their strength and skills and expertise. And made the point that they form an industry and that they will be as independent as possible. At the same time, they will be able to assist each other. And I would think that the process went very smoothly. And I think that person who has not been mentioned is Shai Mola, because I just presume. But our point was that we took people based on their knowledge of the design of the processes as well as their expertise, so that at the end of the process, everybody will be taken through properly. And I know that put other similar questions, I'm sure the team will be able to deal with going forward. And we take the views that there have been improvement, and I can only say that we're not sure that we improve going forward, and as we deal with individual area. And therefore, I will give to the acting DG so that he can guide the process going forward, so that each and every question will be answered. But I think all the questions raised by Honorable, it is the reason we are putting that question, because we are saying, we are starting a new process. We are not sure what the reaction of people would be. If you say it has been there for 15 years, and you find that in between that 15 years, you get a number of complaints that citizens are not taking into account. It will remember that in most communities along the coastal areas, this fishing is a part of life. Let me add also on the issue that I think DPG mentioned around the marine protected area. I think the committee should be made aware that we don't make applications to open and vote in of those, because that will undermine the process for which they are formed. Even when we have to request that a portion be offered, we are still alive for the reason that they are declared as such, so that you have got a place that is undisturbed by fish, so that fish can do its own reproduction and with undisturbed. But it must be blind to the fact that people around those areas are really struggling for it. Sometimes that therefore the friends of these areas don't take into account that these areas are among communities. There should be a balance between what is fishing. We are not promoting that they should both must come in and fish. At least a person with a rod can't get more than 5 fish a day. And people have taken through, but I think that the NGOs need to be engaged in a way that we balance nature with and development, especially when it involves social issues of people.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to take keep only two questions and let the rest for the colleagues in the fisheries. The last question that we had around the integration of fisheries into the department. The first thing to state is the fact that all the staff in fisheries are actually the staff of the department. They are on the payroll of the department. They are appointed fully in the departmental staff. Yes, we're working on the reconfiguration of the department as a whole, and we have the initial draft report, but the minister has advised that it will be appropriate to complete that when the director general is appointed, so that he looks at the totality of the situation and the plan going forward. We're taking care of that. In terms of the MRF, all the staff, the MRF does not have staff, all the staff belongs to the department. But the other processes that you may be asking about are being considered to be taken forward following the reconfiguration. The question that probably, Chair, that you have answered to also is talking to the manager and the takeovers. We have an arrangement with the Competition Commission to continually to monitor a number of those aspects that would affect both the sector, agriculture and the sector, officials. They are taking care of that. We have that arrangement with the Competition Commission.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you, Jason. I am going to answer a couple of questions, and I'm going to ask my colleague to respond to the issue of hay kitchen, the scoring thereof, and the issue of the utilization of the vessel across the sector. And I will ask my colleague, Mr. Mthoba, to respond to the question about the harbour capacity there, and the ability of accounting exactly what is caught with regards to the pictures and the reports that always we get of people who are forced to be poaching. All those things, they finally go to him. When I receive them, I pass them to himself. He is going to respond on that. Okay, I will take in the order questions here. Honourable Makabwana, thank you very much for the input. Absolutely. The process can only be improved. We are starting the process. It's not an ideal mission. We're trying to make it a Ferrari. So absolutely, we welcome those comments and assist us in improving the processes, in particular with regard to the venues. We had had situations whereby we had to bus in people to take them to the venues because of the reasons people saying the venue is not that accessible to the people. We have learned quite a lot from that. At the end of the process of recruiting, we will be starting the process of allocation. Now, the next people that will be considered in these 10 sectors, unfortunately, are only going to be done in 2025. These are 10-year rights because the Marine Living Resources Act gives rights for 8 years, for 10 years, and maximum 15 years. So unfortunately, those who move out now can only apply 2025. The next rights we are allocating are in 2020, which are in the small projects and very, very big commercial sectors. 2020, we are putting systems in the department so that by 2018, we start already the process. Because we always say, processes must drive the department. Business processes need to drive organizations so that it's not an individual that drives them. So we're putting business processes that are going to make sure that 2018, we are ready. Come 2020, we are allocating and there is no more extension. The minister has been clear on this issue that it is an administrative failure to have to extend fishing rights because the department is not ready to do so. 2018, I may not even be in the department, but the issue we are saying is that whoever is the DG at that time, 2018, processes should start so that we are able to allocate fishing rights in time. The issue of fronting, absolutely, it's going to be a very difficult one. And it's going to make us very unpopular, something we don't necessarily care about. But the issue is that we are going to be very strategic and around to see the issue of funding. We are not going to completely leave that in one go. We are going to be putting a clause. Minister requested that given the time frame, we may not be able to audit, forensic audit all people that are applying, but we are going to put a clause in each and every person who has not been audited to say, telling the forensic audit. So the audit is going to be continuous in the department. So if we did not audit you, 4 months down the line, audit you, we get your name, we find you are wrongdoing. Is section 28, to revoke the right, minister has the right to revoke your right or either to reduce your right. That is going to be happening in the decision. Proper advice needed for small scale fisheries, I can't agree with you more. Absolutely, we need to beef that up because there are people who may necessarily not be there to give good advice. But as I say, we need balance that with the capacity that we are having. We can do so much from what we are having, but absolutely it's something that we want to really look at. Honorable Shaiza, I am spending sleepless nights because when all applicants are good applicants, and I only have got 5 fish to give to the applicants, I think I have to learn from the biblical values how Jesus dealt with the multitude of people that had to receive something out of few and limited that was available. It is a nightmare. It is not going to be an easy decision. Hence, we have come up with a criteria and categories of how the scoring is going to be done. So, for instance, if we are 10 of us, we are all defeating and we have come to the occasion and we are found good. 10 of us, and we say, okay, let's look. From the 10, how many do have the experience in doing that? We set aside those ones. But again, we said, we don't want to combine new entrants with people who have been in the race for long, otherwise it's unfair on its own. So we will separate those who are new in the business, those who are also, those that are old in the business, will have different categories that will be scored on. Have you utilized your right in the 10 years that you have held it? Have you maintained your black economic empowerment? Have you uplifted all your earnings? Have you not overcalled? Are there no transgressions against you? Have you been paying your fees up on time? Well, there are those categories and everything. So we are going to use that and use those categories to balance to say, absolutely, there will be people who are fit to get, but who are going to get, unfortunately. Honorable Young Blood, the end of the month with the script, I'm afraid this is a complete misleading statement. There is no obligation to announce the split between the sectors by the end of this month. I'm not very sure how did that come about, but absolutely there is no obligation on that, and there is no legally binding obligation to do so, and like indicated, Minister is the delegated authority to make that decision. Ours is to propose to him that these are the options. He and he will can take that decision, and he will take that decision as and when he wants to take that decision, and nobody can take him to court saying it has been late or it's been late. It can't be late at all. On the issue of the 5-3 report, I made for the benefit of the other colleagues who may not understand the 5-3 report. Honorable Young, 5-3 reports are not regulatory reports. 5-3 reports are basically reports that say, as Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, I considered the programs before here up here. I looked at this, I looked at that, and I decided this. So 5-3 report is a report where Minister explains his decision. And there is no legal obligation that these reports must be published. The department chairperson does it out of courtesy to publish these reports on our website. There is no legal obligation. However, the one by indication point, I think, refers to the tuna that has not been uploaded. It's a combination of an IT system and everything. The webmaster, I can't, you know, check what the webmaster is pasting on the website or not posting, but absolutely we'll make a follow-up. Out of courtesy, we are going to upload these vital reports, but we have no obligation to do so. On the issue of hate fishing, as I said, first I'm going to respond on that. On the matter, I can agree with you, Mose. Absolutely, this can cause very, very, very big disruptions. Hence, we are thinking of utilizing the root of these conditions so that we don't even touch the policy, because touching the policy will give us another 5 years for amendment or 6 years. So on each and every fishing season, we develop things that we call damage conditions. You are going to catch here, how you are going to catch, how you are going to report. Those we can amend from time to time. So we are looking at going the option of damage conditions so that community X, should they have problems, next fishing season we amend their damage conditions. That will not need any amendment of the policy and anything in draft. And I fully agree with you, it's the issue that we need to be cautious about, because it can really cause unrest. And today already we are having a protest around some of the issues that are coming out of this. But thank you very much for that input. We are absolutely going to be cautious and stay away from policy and utilize the payment conditions. Honorable Jane, political interference. Let me also maybe explain that because I am the delegated authority, I am going to be the one deciding who to grant and who to refuse. And obviously this has attracted so much attention around myself. I get so much calls, I get so much invitations for golf even which I have no interest in playing. But the issue here is that because I'm the delegated authority, I had to excuse myself completely from any call, from any meetings, and from any discussions of any interested parties that want to get fishing rights. That is very, it is happening. I don't do supper, I don't do dinner, I don't do coffee and tea, I don't need associations, I don't need anybody around rights allocation. And we have also requested a few of the colleagues that we are going to be appointing or going to be part of the allocation team. They are not going to be talking to no one, they are not going to be taking calls, they are not going to be invited for anything that needs invites. So we are going to make sure that these people stay away. However, people always find ways of getting around these things. Hence we are having the second layer of the auditors, because the auditors, if there is a political interference, the auditors are going to look at what the criteria that you use to allocate to X, that's what is going to count. So if it's an interference, it may be somebody who is not deserving. You can't bring that person because the criteria is going to be clear how you grant X and refuse Y. However, I must also tell you, maybe we have political interference here. It's the tip of an iceberg. There is also big commercial that also I think an interference here. But it's not only political. Also commercial, the commercial industry also are looking at how they can influence the process, how they can talk to whomever here, how it both ways, both political and from the commercial. But we have ways of looking at that. They have issues with them too. I was going to talk to that. Honorable Chairman,
I've seen the member was impressed by your statement and Clapham. You can only listen, you cannot participate. The house is fishing. So visitors, you can just listen and enjoy listening, but you can't respond. So please avoid flipping hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. The issue of the application fee of 2,500, I think, is part of what I spoke about, of those people, scholars, trying to get people out of it. Unfortunately, we can't reach on all of these cases, but we are taking those cases that are being brought to us. And as I said, the call center is specifically there to assist people. If you don't understand the form, how to fill the form, what to do, what attachment to bring, and everything like that. What I will share, the Facebook page of the fishers currently has got 210 fishers. However, we also got a WhatsApp group of the fishers, which is about 1,200. This WhatsApp group of the fishers is part of the electronic system that we are implementing, that the fishers have, that Minister launched during the World Fisheries Day last day in October, which is called Abalone. It's an app that is used by the cell phone. It only requires
very little amount of money to operate, and fishermen are communicating via this platform. This application is helping them to see if PKD wants to buy the fish, how much do they want to, are they willing to pay for that. So a fisherman can literally go and catch his fish, use that app to check who wants to buy. There is a list of a team of the retailers, how much they can buy for. So that is also connecting the real ordinary fishers to the market. So it's something also that we have 1,200 fishers a team of. The issue of the Eden Cape Black Fishers Association, Chairperson, I would like not necessarily to respond much on this, because the bigger component of what we have not dealt with was with regards to the political individual or politically linked individual who they claim had robbed them of their fishing rights, the individual used and as facing to obtain their rights. And remember, we mentioned even the name of this person, Edward and Patrick. It is something that we are trying to bring to the political leadership so that it can be dealt with in that platform. Unfortunately, it's beyond our. There are many issues that they're raising with regard to the MPA issues, which was open, which is not partially closed because the friend of the Tsitsikamma put again the court case. The other issue was with regard to the issue of corruption, and they talked about with the individuals that are in the department. This is also something that we are looking at because there are essential reasons to really look into those issues. But of course, these are issues that we investigate. We cannot investigate during our class. With those checklists, I think that I would have some questions that we have. I'm going to give to my colleague Sasa on the Hague decision issue and ask Ms. Mtoba to respond on the harbour issue and the reported incidences of poaching. Thank you, Chairperson.
That's
a lot of
minister.
I want to follow up on the matter of how to get a buy-in from the industry. The brand of itself, so the change from overfishing and doing other things, the issues that were mentioned, because it must not be at the end of the department being present to battle against those who do wrong. It must be the obligation of those who get licenses to work within the system. We want to make our effort that on the issue of fronting, it is the answer in the department. We found many channels along the coastal area where workers were received letters from SAS demanding a tax because they are alleged to have been in the lot of companies. We want to make it all these bills under one roof so that we can agree that that will be done away with. And it is the task of commission and exposing the poor to further exploitation.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. In responding to the specifics of the Hague issue, Chairperson, just to refresh memories of members, when the appeals team review appeals, the first port of call is to look at the general published reasons, which is where the delegated authority has explained his rationale in making his decisions allocating the fishing rights. And in the case of Hague, there's a portion in the general published reasons that talks about effective utilization of the right. And effective utilization of the right becomes slightly subjective on the basis that there are a lot of variables where the fishermen operate. The issue in terms of differences in terms of vessel length, vessel availability, also issues relating to labor unrest. Labor issues affect different right holders at different times of the year, affecting their performance. And as a result, you can't carry really average performance throughout all right holders. So according to the GBR, the delegated authority excluded right holders at the time that have not taken out a permit for 4 and or more years or caught less than a certain portion that was set for that particular sector. And in the case of Hague, it was discovered that although Hague has not fished for many days in a year, in all the sectors, Hague was found to have collected all the catch permits every single year subsequently. There we issues that it was initially not supposed to have been excluded when rights were being allocated. As a result, the appeals team had a look at their application and then reconsidered them for allocation. And also the issue of the vessel, in the last allocations of 2005, the sectors were categorized in clusters. We had cluster A, B, C, and cluster G. Cluster A being the extremely highly capital intense, and cluster G being the less capital intense. And vessels and right holders were not allowed to move through those clusters. And that for 2013 was reconsidered after being petitioned by right holders, and vessels, depending on their suitability, were then started being allowed to participate in a number of sectors. And in the case of vessels that are owned by Hedging, because of the nature of their operations, they operate in the tuna long life sector. So their vessels are also suitable to participate in the genital shark sector, also to participate in the Hague long life sector, which is a common practice within the Hague sector. It's not only in the case of the vessels that are owned by Hague, but a number of vessel owning companies have their vessels participating in a number of sectors depending on their suitability. Thank you very much.
Mr.
Mathon?
Yes,
sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir. The issues that I'm going to be responding to are the issues that have been raised by honorable member Zain. I think the very first one is around the observation made during the oversight visit to Harvard. And I think the one concern relates to your experience and how they allowed the Harvard during relations with the cash data monitors. And the impression that that the members got was that the cash monitor that were met didn't seem to know what they were supposed to be doing or what they were doing. Now, I want to say, Chair, that cash monitors are not necessarily employees of this government. They are recruited and managed by the central managers that are appointed through the PWP program. But it is our responsibility as a department to manage the whole project and to ensure that they are able to record accurately all case data that is safe, because it is used at the department for this purpose, research among others, and also for the ladies. Now, sir, I want to say that all the test parameters are still trained for the work that they are doing. And that is provided by the gives training in terms of how to collect the cash data that we get. So it's unfortunate that I don't know the details regarding the observations during your visit. But after we receive that members to ensure that this we have oversight, the third oversight in respect of the work of the test data. The whole issue is above the charts, generally speaking, but it's receiving attention, not just from us, but also from the other local agencies. The one thing I can mention, Chairman, again, is that in cases where we receive reports of anomalies in terms of the test data, we investigate them. In fact, there's one investigation that my office is with, so I'm trying to coincide the figures. And if there's any wrongdoing that is identified in the process, it's going to be actually taken. The second question relates to immigration reports that we receive from the department. What the honourable member is saying is that from time to time she observes areas she isn't, and that those matters are brought to the attention of the department. Indeed, we do receive those reports. We should also be cognizant of the fact that our post line is around 2,920 kilometers from the border with Namibia to the border with Mozambique. And as a department, we have a presence in terms of the stations toward the coastline. And we would expect stakeholders. So we will not discourage them. We always welcome the input. Social person, physical evidence say that we take note of the concerns being raised about the legal vision and we act on them whatever we receive from those reports. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the response. Mr. Matova, just to understand, you are saying EPWG, you have service providers. Which is it run by which department? Is it public work or yourself? It's very scary. Government can do a program to capacitate people and employ service providers. It's very scary. Can you get clarity on that?
Thanks, Sir President, we have a number of projects and innovations that are implemented by DAF and funded by the Department of Public Works. Amongst them is the cash data monitoring project, and it is the anti-poaching project where we employ meter detectors. We get funding for those projects and others, including the harbor management project from the EPWP fund. And one thing we do is to employ service providers to implement those projects. Our role then becomes to manage the service provider to ensure that the targets that we set for those interventions are met so that they are reasonable.
No, I just need that clarity on the EPWP thing. So members, we want to follow up questions. I'll start with another point. Okay. Honorable Marty, Honorable Spain, Honorable Young, there's a follow up question. But before we follow up questions, there's a question that has not been answered. Perhaps we want to. For response to the judiciary minister has to leave, so to receive a memorandum probably. So can we give them a specific question? Let's not make claim rules so that they can respond before they leave. DDG, you are supposed to respond on the last question. The processing establishment rights.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Very shortly, we have done away with an expiry date on fish processing establishment. It's going to be ongoing. Whoever wants to apply at any given time can apply. Same as aquaculture and ranging. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Madu.
I was just more interested. I wanted to understand how EPWP and service providers. Because I thought that the most fitting response from DAF would have been that they start implementing budgets. You know, because it sounds like they're implementing a program on behalf of the department. Sometimes when you call people service providers in that real context, they sound like you're talking about consultants. Now when it's a DPWP, which is more a social relief program, plus so we tend to be. Now, even when these programs are making a certain impact, we do not see that impact because of how we are presenting them. They sound like another engineering outfit. So it's very important that you try, because if you have been meant for social relief, so if military vets are working on a social relief program, it should be presented as such so that we have got that understanding. And when our people accuse us of not empowering them up there, we will be able to use this as some of the important examples, but now we're talking about the service providers. It looks like in the end, consultants there. So you mean telling a story about some of the things that are being changed in your space.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also concerned about that, and that is exactly why I mentioned it. My concern on the day is that I think we need to get proper presentation on also call it monitoring for a better word, because it's definitely not policing. There's many concerns that I have.
I saw lots of people standing around. I didn't know what they were doing, and said, oh, is it working with each other, and what is the roles? I thought it would be much better if they work in shifts or weekends or whatever. So I don't suggest any monitoring, I think. That's my observation, and I'm definitely not a very knowledgeable on this, but just on one day I was very concerned.
Thank you, Chief. The verification process, I would like to know whether that person now will do the verification or whether you're going to get an independent person or persons or company out there, because the impression you get when you talk to fisher people and you know the industry is that in the light of all the things that have gone wrong politically, interference, corruption and those kind of things, people do not have a lot of trust in DAF. So I would like to know about that. And then you now seem to have dealt with track 2030 more or less. I would like to know whether you are doing anything to undo the corruption that surfaced in track 2030. And then lastly, when are we going to get clarity on the basket of species? Because the way I understand things now, and maybe I'm wrong, some of the sectors, like white mackerel, you know, I can't think of all of them now, have been awarded until 2020 as national species. When will we get clarity on that? That's it. Thank you.
Before you respond, Minister, the report on the Black Fishers Association from Eastern Cape, can we get a return response on all those issues that they have raised and how far you have implemented it, and those that are still need the attention, so that in the committee when we engage with them, we're able to give them that feedback. I agree with a lot of the things that we might want to come back for issues of monitoring and policy issues. So we don't have to go into that explanation again. Because if you want to know the story of Paddy Eggland in your stories where you confiscated the tax card and confiscated from the cabinet. We want to know that story. So, Minister, you wanted to respond?
Only on one. The last question from honorable members, committee members include only at the release of the department of the work we do. And what will happen to those allegations of corruption and this is a work in progress. We have told them not to deal with issues that make sure that we clear it. One of the make sure that we're able to issue we should be able to be working towards the issuing of the rights as they end as they have done it. Fulfilling the obligation and the promise we made to you that we follow the mandate that they report, which we are reporting on. And we are also prepared with that in terms of the appeals that we are sitting in the department and attended. We have dialogue with that. Now, all the issues you are raising, remember, we have to make sure that if an allegation is made that somebody has done this, we have to have other processes. You can take a person to any court of law on the basis of what people are saying, because it will be regarded as essay unless you have done your own investigation. And I'm sure a grand cause will be able to come back and say, where were your allegations of improper conduct by staff members? What the remedial role will you take to be? But one thing that in the department we will stand up on the top of the moon and say that we are now in. It was difficult what we do going forward. That will guide us on.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Absolutely, we take and receive
We will make a presentation on monitoring compliance and surveillance, and we have a joint report on that. I just want to note those, so I'm not going to necessarily to open that for discussion now. In terms of the verification, it will be done by ourselves, audited independently. This is the team are indicating that they are going to be independent verification auditors. They will audit the process. The basket of species, the Marine Green Resources Act, allows the minister to set aside any portion of the total plan allow available cash, which is TACTAE. That has happened on the line issue already. So there is nothing that stops the minister to set aside as species become available for allocation. On the 2018 species, it has been done. On these species, it is going to be done. On the 2020 right allocation, it is going to be incredibly difficult to do it because these are high capital intensive sectors. They are offshore high seas sectors. So you are not going to need to reserve some allocation small scale fishermen. They simply are not going to be able to go catch offshore and at the high seas. Thank you, the issue on the money of the service provider, it was a not good choice of the word. It implemented it.
With regard to that, if we have this implementing agencies, are we able to get reports and monitor them properly? Because we don't, when we talk about department creating jobs, we usually not get these reports, because I don't think you get that report from this implementing agency. And that's why I'm very worried that instead of yourself implementing just an agent, implementing on your behalf, but with other technical services like your NK people, like something to have an NKGA with their skills, yes, you can use them, but with regard to those ones, all of them, is talking about the one that was supposed to come in the when the boat is coming up, the inspector, so which were meant to be public works, as well as public works people. I think that one in the department is implemented. And maybe in the next presentation, DG will come up with that response. Even with this, the group that is watching for fish, how does they relate to this one? And what those watching for fish people are doing? And where are they located? Why are they located somewhere instead in not into the section? I think those are the issues that don't want to do presentation. If I want to deal with monitoring, we'll want more clarity on those issues. One of the young groups, the minister must go and put memorandum now.
That's just one thing, question that which I forgot to ask. It's about Avalon Bus. Do I understand correctly that 100% of all the Avalon Bus will go to small-scale fishes? Okay.
Okay, Minister and the DG, you are released. Minister, my question has not been responded to. I'll ask it in the next question. What are you doing with those people who defeat the ends of justice in reducing the progress on transformation issues? Yes.
So the first thing is that we're going to invite all the CEOs of the government, so that we can have a dialogue with them to show them that it does not do good to the industry that we engage in those. But as the SDG has said, we are met with the Competition Commission to agree on principles that must be followed including the testifying by our own officials against them when they make decisions. And I'm sure that we will make sure that I'm aware of one of the cases that have been very prominent in the industry, where a bigger company swallows a smaller operation and deprives the communities of their rights and the rest. And we make sure that that policy is put in place against such a situation.
Thank you very much, Minister. You are at least in the situation. Members, do you still have anything? Thank you very much, Department, for coming. That was the only issue that we have on the agenda. I know that you have prepared for other items. It's not supposed to be on this meeting today. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You have been released. Empower committees to be able to do the oversight on
on issues that they found in the department. But in some instances when they received the meeting open for everybody, they are able to raise certain issues that are not legally, you know, taxing, such that if somebody spends a day then they can then be able to deal with them. So we have agreed to them that will apply so that we are give them that opportunity to give us more information that we need for us to do an oversight. On your behalf, of course. Yeah. That's number seven. Any
Chairperson, I don't have a problem with that. I know that we are not supposed to really call closed meetings, but I can understand that. And I think it's important that we do have open discussion with the Auditor General in preparation for ourselves, because I can understand the reason for that. So we have to weigh our options, and I think it's fine if we have closed meetings, because there's the published final report will be open and discussions can then be made. Chairman, I also must raise my frustration with the fact that we are not dealing with all the matters that were published on the agenda. I came back to this meeting from Johannesburg and apply back now, and I'm sure the rest of the portfolio of the department here. It's a waste of money. We must please, at least if it's on the day before, get a final report or for the agenda. I'm a bit frustrated with this.
Okay, if I'm honourable member, as I've indicated, that it's not the only issue. There are a lot of them. I said they must try to isolate them, bring them to management so that we can process them to get department to respond to those issues which are outstanding. Because my view is that we don't want them to be absorbed by the other programs that will be coming out. Any other team members?
Just on the first issue, Chair, because I think we made a proposal for discussion on the Hotel General issue. I think that is very viable in general, and that is very necessary so that we in that particular meeting where, although they are going to give us a report, that it's very proper that if they are not in a final stage of it, there must be that kind of consultation between us as the committee and them in that manner of the arrangements closed. So I second that so that we can on our behalf request that from Parliament so that we do that. Yes.
No, thank you, honourable members.